You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, it is Wednesday, and as you know, it's time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center.
The United Nations considers a war stopped even more important than a war won.
If our cities go down, in my opinion, our nation will go down.
You have to think about your dream and what you want to do.
All we were trying to do was just get music for all people.
Agriculture has a long, long history in our state, and certainly it's one of the state's top industries. From indigenous people to 19th and early 20th century immigrants, growing food has sustained community economies and led people to dream and implement wide-scale expansion. In the 1860s, Emil Bauer had a utopian vision of agriculture as the vehicle to put his big idea into motion. So let's find out more about one of Michigan's only utopian colonies as we welcome State Archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. So Mark, let's start with, what is a utopian community?
A utopian community is one that mixes shared possessions or ideals and tries to bring people together around a common cause or common ideals. And so people would live in community and not be bogged down in the day-to-day grind. And it was something that would hopefully elevate their life, give them a different experience than they otherwise would have, especially in the 19th century when life, you know, for many, wasn't very elegant. It was just hard work.
And isn't it funny that we look back from the 21st century and have this kind of dreamy ideal of what was life like in the 19th century?
It was a grind.
Yeah, there we go. So Emil Bauer is a German immigrant who came to America to pursue religious freedom. And what brought him to Michigan in search of a utopian community?
He had connected with some people called the Harmonists. It was another utopian community that had sprung up in Pennsylvania and moved around a lot, and they were very successful. And so he looked at their model and thought, I could create an agricultural-based version of this model. This is the time when Michigan was really promoting their land, and Michigan really was recruiting hardworking German immigrants, and so it seemed like a match made in heaven.
And thus, Ora Labora. What was Ora Labora? What did that name mean?
Well, Bauer originally called it the Christian German Agricultural and Benevolent Society, Ora et Labora.
Okay, so, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's why we shortened it to Ora Labora.
Yes.
So it's pray and work. Mm-hmm. And again, the idea from a religious perspective was that these two things went hand in hand. Making your faith as part of your work would lessen the toil aspect of it. And that's not a new concept. That goes back to the Greeks.
Was there a specific religion?
It was German Methodist.
Okay.
They were, I mean, the Ora Labora phrase goes back to, I think, St. Benedict. But
yes,
this was German Methodist. It was based on the idea of agriculture being the means to the end. It was very close to a monastic existence in that respect.
And where did they locate it?
So if you look at your palm of your right hand,
sort
of on the inside tip of your thumb, it's an area called Bayport, or they called it Wildfowl Bay. They first went up there in the late 1850s and incorporated officially in 1862. And a lot has been made about, well, these were just a bunch of city folk going up, not knowing what they were doing agriculturally, which is true. But I think we have to give Bauer credit that he set up shop on the doorstep of Saginaw Bay in Saginaw, which was just becoming a booming lumber town, and he knew you had to clear the land. So I don't think he's given enough credit for that vision of the burgeoning lumber industry. I do think that they didn't consider all that was involved with the agricultural existence there.
Give us an idea of a typical day in Ora Labora, and was it utopian?
They would wake up very early. Some have recorded as early as 5 a.m., so they'd wake up, and then they would pray. And then they would eat breakfast, and then they would get to work for close to 12 hours with a noontime break. And then they would end their day with prayer again, and then they would rinse and repeat.
Was it men, women, families? Who were members?
The numbers originally is that he drew almost 300 people up there at their peak.
And it sounds like things were hard. I mean, they're not around today, so we know they were eventually done in by pressures. What kind of hardships did they face? And I'm thinking, as you say, 1862, we're talking Civil War.
It was swampland. That was part of the deal in the land acquisition or land swap that Bauer arranged. So he got thousands and thousands of acres, but it was swampland, so they had to clear it. That was a lot of work. You have disease that goes along with that, inexperienced farmers and woodsmen. That didn't help. But they made a go of it. But then the Civil War did hurt them because every county had a quota for enlistees. And Huron County being sort of being on the thumb and close to the international border, some people would head off to Canada. This was an upright Christian organization, so they filled their quota and completely depleted most of their able-bodied workers, filling those draft quotas.
Did that ultimately do in this utopian community?
That, among other things. They did have to borrow money, so there were financial pressures and the lack of people working there. The combination of those things did it in.
Did Emil Bauer stay in Michigan, or did any of them stay in Michigan?
Some of the people there were able to purchase small tracts of land and continue farming there, but Emil Bauer actually wound up in Ann Arbor as a teacher and lived out his life there until the 1890s.
Any traces of Ora Labora to be found today up in Huron County?
There is a cemetery that's still there, and there's also a fine collection of historic materials at the Bentley Historical Library at the University of Michigan, and we're pretty excited at the Archives of Michigan because just last month we're given a donation of seemingly a pile of papers. And it turns out it's the personal correspondence of Emil Bauer.
Ooh.
And his family. Unfortunately for us, they're mostly in German.
Okay.
So we're working with the local German department to get them translated. Maybe we'll learn something new.
So this was Michigan's first utopian colony. Is it the only utopian colony in our history?
You know, as soon as we say that's the only one, someone's going to ring us up.
Well, let the challenge be put out there,
right.
Everybody.
Yeah, it's the only one that I'm aware of in accordance with how we define utopian colonies.
All right, if you're listening and you say, wait a minute, I know better, please feel free to let us know. Meantime, the story of Michigan's first and, as far as we know, only utopian colony, Ora Labora. State Archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. As always, thanks, Mark.
Thank you.